Penguin Random House Audio presents The Gates of Evangeline by Hester Young. Read for you by January Lavoie. But Evangeline's heart was sustained by a vision that faintly floated before her eyes and beckoned her on through the moonlight. It was the thought of her brain that assumed the shape of a phantom. Through those shadowy aisles had Gabriel wandered before her, and every stroke of the oar now brought him nearer and nearer. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, Evangeline, A Tale of Acadie. Prologue. I can't pinpoint the moment I cross over. It comes slowly. The seductive darkness, my face and limbs dissolving into something weightless and fuzzy. Then consciousness spreads through me like caffeine. My senses come alive. This time, there is water. A soft shh on either side of me. I wait. Try to orient myself. Am I in a boat? The darkness lifts and a picture forms. Swamp. I'm in a rowboat, drifting through brown water and swirls of green scum. Around me I see dead leaves, rotted branches curling like fingers, partially submerged trees clawing their way upward. On my right I catch a flash of movement. Watchful green eyes peer up at me. An alligator. I drift along, trying to read the light to get a sense of time. Morning? Evening? The swamp is sunless and dreary, offering no clues. I feel him before I see him. Someone is with me. A small figure in a white shirt sits across from me in the boat. His face comes to me as if through mist, indistinct smudges giving way to flesh. Is it him? Is it Keegan? Disappointment stabs me when I see the boy, not quite my son's age. He's very small, with skinny limbs, 2, maybe 3 years old, pinchable cheeks and longish brown hair. As if relieved to see me, he smiles, revealing a chipped tooth. I have the feeling that he's been waiting for me.
Who are you?
I ask.
Jojo,
he says, as though that should suffice. When he sees my blank stare, he tries to explain.
I lived at the big white house. We had a doggy.
I note his use of the past tense with a frown. Where are we? I look around for something familiar, something I might recognize, but the swampy land is foreign. The boy's smile dissipates, and his eyes search mine.
Will you help me?
He's so young, his voice still feeling its way around each sentence. I swallow. Somewhere, he has a mother who must love him very much. How? I ask the boy. What do you want me to do? He looks down at his hands, quiet for a moment. The rhythmic swishing of the water engulfs us, an eerie lullaby.
He hurt me,
the boy says finally.
You gotta tell on him.
Who hurt you? I press. If someone's hurting you, you need to tell your mom.
I can't.
The boy's voice rises, tearful.
He said no telling or he'd kill mama. He'd kill me maybe too.
I study his eyes, brown with long lashes, and the dark hair that curls at the tips just past his chin. I must not forget about the tooth. Front tooth, chipped. Keep every detail intact. I think I understand this vision now, and he's right. He can't tell his mother. He's already dead. Part 1. Stamford, Connecticut, October. 1. The sky is a dismal gray when I finally go to remove my son's car seat.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?